We began our discussion about Eved. What's the status of an Eved vis-a-vis Talmud Torah? On the one hand, the Rambam compares Eved to Isha. And the impression you get is it's a Petur Gavra. On the other hand, we saw that some of the Farshim understood from the Rambam, not here in Hilchas Talmud Torah, but elsewhere in Hilchas Avodim, that there's an Issa to teach the Eved Torah. And that Issa is incumbent upon the Adon. So we quoted here a Pri Chadosh, and the Pri Chadosh is of the opinion, based on a Sugya Ksubus, that the violation here, when the Adon teaches his Eved Torah, is Li Olam Bahem Ta'avodu. And I just wanted to add something today that I missed yesterday. The Sefer Achinuch, who's one of the Rishonim, counts the mitzvahs, and in mitzvah Shin Mem Zayin, he codifies the mitzvah of Li'olam Bahem Ta'avodu. He writes, Shalom Eshachrer Eved Knani Li'olam, that we're never ever allowed to be Meshachrer in Eved Knani. And he lists various azharos, various prohibitions that apply to the Adon vis-a-vis his Eved. And he says that he's not allowed to teach his Eved Torah. He's not allowed to call up his Eved to read in the Torah B'tzibur. And the reason for that is because that's called Noeg Ba Minag Banim. That's the sugya in the end of the second parak of Ksubas. And once he's Noeg Bahem Minag Banim, then the Eved is Yotze L'Cheres. And one of the cases of Noeg Bahen Bey Binyan Minag Banim is when he teaches his Eved Torah. So the Iser here is related to Hilchas Avodim. It's not related to Hilchas Talmud Torah. Meaning the Rambam has exhausted his discussion of the relationship between Eved and Hilchas and Talmud Torah as a mitzvah here at the beginning of Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Because all the Rambam wants to establish here is that the Eved, like the Isha, is exempt from the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah. He has a Petur Gavra. How are you, David? We have a seat for you here, if you like. He has a Petur Gavra, correct? What are we going to do with the fact that the Rambam prohibits the Adon from teaching his son Torah? That's not Halach and Hilchas Talmud Torah. That's Halach and Hilchas Avodin. And the Pri Chadosh quotes this sugya in Ksubas about Noeg Bahem Minid Bonin. The Torah says Vishinantam Levanecha, that we teach Torah to our children, to our sons. And he went ahead and he's teaching Torah to his Eved. And the answer is that he's Noeg by Minag Banim, and the halacha therefore applies Yatza HaEved L'Cheres. And that's a violation of the Isur of Le'olam Bahem Ta'avod. So just to summarize, it comes out that there are two halachas in Hilchas Talmud Torah with regard to an Eved. One halacha has to do with the Eved himself. The Eved himself is potter from Talmud Torah in the same way an Isha is Peturah mi Talmud Torah. And then there's another halacha, which is specifically an Iser of teaching Talmud Torah incumbent upon the Adon under the law of Li'olam Bahem Tavodu, because if he's knowing Bahem Migrug Banim, then Yotzel Echerus. But here's where I get a problem. Everything looks beautiful, and we have this Tzvei Dinim in the Rambam. It's very cool. You know, the Rambam is very meticulous about his system of codification. In Hilchas Talmud Torah, he places Eved right up there with Isha as a Petur Gavra. There's no Isur involved over here. There's no Tiflis, none of that stuff. All the Rambam has in the Isur, which is in Hilchas Avodim, and that comes under the unique relationship between the Adon and the Eved. But here's my problem. We said yesterday that according to the Mishnah Lamelech, the halach of la only applies to mitzvah seishas man grom. So the Eved's Petur in mitzvahs derived from la only applies to zman grom. Therefore, the Mishnah Lamelech says that the din of period of a rivia, for example, which is not a time-bound mitzvah, and the Ptur of Isha is based on a special Gzeres HaKosim Mekiv Shuha, that has no application to an Eved. If we operate based on the Mishnah Melech, then when the Rambam here opens up Hilchas Talmud Torah by equating Eved with Isha, in both cases the Ptur Gavra, then Bishlei may understand that there's a Ptur Gavra on the Isha, because the Torah says Levanecha v'lo libnosecha. But how am I going to derive a Ptur Gavra in the case of an Eved? Meaning, the Eved, as we said, undergoes Geiris. The question is, how far does his Geiris take him? If his Geiris includes the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then he's a full-fledged Jew with relationship to Talmud Torah. He should be obligated in the midst of Talmud Torah. Elo what? You're going to tell me that his Geiris doesn't go as far as Talmud Torah is concerned, that he's a guy as far as Torah Talmud. He's completely mufka from this mitzvah. So why does the Rambam say he's potter? And if you're going to tell me the Rambam says he's potter because of the equation between Eved and Isha, we're stuck with the Mishnah Melech, because the Mishnah Melech says that equation between Eved and Isha only goes as far as Mitzvah Seh Shazman Groma. Clearly Talmud Torah doesn't come on the Mitzvah Seh Shazman Groma. It's a separate Ptur derived from Banecha Melo Bno Secha. Why should I apply that according to the Mishnah Melech to the Eved? So Mimonovchak, I'm in trouble. If I assume that the Eved is potter like a Ptur Gavra, then the only source for that could be Isha. But I'm stuck with the Mishnah Melech who says that you can't derive a Ptur Eved from a Ptur Isha unless it's Mitzvah Seh Shazman Groma. If you're going to tell me the Eved is Mufka from the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah, meaning he has the status of a Goy and his Geirus does not generate a Kedushas Yisrael as far as the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is concerned, if that be the case, then an Eved should be completely Mufka from Talmud Torah, which means if the Eved decides that he wants to learn Talmud Torah, we're not allowed to. No one's allowed to teach him Talmud Torah. And that's a Talmud Torah halacha. That has nothing to do with Hilchas Avodim. The Rambam has a different halacha which he codifies in Hilchas Avodim, that the Adon is not allowed to teach his Eved Torah. But I have a more fundamental issue. If the Eved is not even a Jew as far as Talmud Torah is concerned, so therefore the halacha of Mora Shakilas Yaakov applies to the Eved no less than it applies to a guy, then he's completely mufka. The Rambam says he's potter from Talmud Torah. The Rambam doesn't exclude him from Talmud Torah. It would seem from the Rambam, Pashtus, that if the Eved on his own initiative would decide to learn Torah, or alternatively, if he would knock on my door and say, Rebbe, teach me Torah, I'm allowed to teach him Torah. The Rambam nowhere says that I'm not allowed to teach him Torah. The only person who's not allowed to teach the Eved Torah is whom? Is the Adon. Has no application to me. Why? Because the Eved is potter, but if the Eved wants to take the initiative, he can do so. In the case of an Isha, we may have problems of Tiflis. But the Rambam doesn't mention a word about Tiflis with regard to an Eved. So I'm really stuck, because my simple, straightforward reading of the Rambam, Noshim Vavodim Ptur Mitalmud Torah, is that the status of an Eved is equivalent to that of an Isha. But how do you derive such a conclusion if you hold like the Mishnah Lamelech that law only goes as far as Mitzvah Seh Shazman Groma, should have no implication as far as Talmud Torah is concerned? So I'm going to take a wild move here, out into the wild blue yonder. On the one hand, I'm going to maintain the Pashtus in the Rambam that an Eved is potter from Talmud Torah, and not because of the reason that he's potter from Zman Groma, which is Lola Meisha. I'm boxed into a corner because I'm maintaining the Shita of the Mishnah Melech. So how do I generate a Ptur Gavra of Talmud Torah with regard to an Eved if it's not based on Isha? It has to be based on a different source. So sometimes we say in the world of halacha that a good question deserves another good question. And sometimes, paradoxically or counterintuitively, if you ask a second question, it helps you answer the first question. So I want to ask another question. The Rambam opens up Hilchas Talmud Torah with the following three principles. One, he dedicates halacha aleph, the second halacha beis, and the third halacha gimel. Now I'm going to present to you the Rambam sequence, and I'm going to ask you, as I'm speaking, to shlug this up, meaning to ask me a kash on the Rambam. The Rambam Halacha Aleph establishes the chiyuv of the father to teach his son Torah, and he derives it from a pasuk. In Halacha Beis, the Rambam establishes the chiyuv on every chacham in Israel to teach afilu ben chavero Torah. He's teaching because he's obligated to teach someone else's son. Then we get to Halacha Gimel. In Halacha Gimel, and Halacha Beis, the Rambam quotes a pasuk for that. Now we get to Halacha Gimel. The Rambam says a person has to study Torah, and he derives that from a pasuk. Now, Rabosai, be honest with me. Don't feel that you'll be insulting the Rambam if you give a different answer than the Rambam's answer. Where would you place, what would you place up front if you were writing the Rambam as the first chiyuv in the mitzvah Talmud Torah? Would it be A, the chiyuv of the father to teach Torah, B, the chiyuv of the chacham to teach Torah, or C, the chiyuv of a person to study Torah?
C.
All in favor of C, raise your hand. Unanimous vote. And now we want to write a letter of opposition to the Rambam, asking the Rambam to defend his position. How could it be that the Rambam, who's so sensitive to sequence, would start with what would end, if you will, with what seems to be the beginning, the most fundamental chiv that there is? Okay, you have to learn Torah, then teach Torah. Father has to teach Torah, a Rebbe has to teach Torah, Chacham v'Chacham Yisrael. And yet the Rambam leaves the necessity, or shall I say the obligation, to study Torah for the end. So on a mathematical basis, without even understanding what I'm saying, right now I'm going to tell you gibberish. But the gibberish is the mathematical calculation from the Rambam. What is the most fundamental chiyuv in Hilchas Talmud Torah? Anybody? From the Rambam's perspective, David.
Father teaching his son.
Father teaching the son. Azai Shteit and Rambam. Again, if you're willing to accept the rules of the game, the ground rules, and you're willing to play by the rules, I'm setting the ground rules here because I don't know that anyone has ever done this before. Maybe there is somebody who's done this. The ground rules are that the fundamental chiv comes first. The Rambam brings the chiv of the father to teach Torah first. It means that's the most fundamental chiv of teaching Talmud Torah. You want to move forward, the Rebbe has to teach Talmud Torah. So there's Limanatemosam Espedechem and Halacha Aleph, the father's chiv, then there's Vishinantum Levanech Elu Talmidecha, the Chacham in Halacha Beis, and then the Rambam has a whole limud to teach that you have to study Torah on your own. What is then the most fundamental chiv in Talmud Torah? The father's chiv vis-a-vis his son. Why? Again, this why is a philosophical why almost. It's now I'm getting into real speculation. The Rambam doesn't tell me why this is the most fundamental. He only tells me what it is.
Well, I mean, I think I said to you before that the father is the teacher. Al-Hawasi, because he's going to be in Rechayim in learning Torah and he has to prepare him.
But what concept, Rabosai, when you talk about a father teaching his son Torah, for that matter, a Rebbe teaching his friend's son Torah, what is that called?
In what?
Messiah. The Rambam holds, I believe, that the whole essence of Talmud Torah, remember we discussed on that first meeting why the Rambam calls it Hilchas Talmud Torah, not Hilchas Limud Torah, not the laws of studying Torah, but Talmud Torah. We tried to prove that Talmud Torah is this massive mitzvah that includes many, many different branches to it, all of which come under one mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah means that the Torah wants to guarantee that you pass on the tradition of Torah, the transmission of Torah to the next generation. Let's go back to Halach Aleph. The Rabbi says a father has to teach his son. Who else does he have to teach? Before we get to Halach Abed,
his grandson.
Fodata levanecha ulevnei vanecha, which is Mesoras HaTorah. The Rambam goes on to say that if you have a choice between teaching your grandson or teaching someone else's son, a whole Seder Kedima. We'll go and believe that, and we'll learn all the details. Why did these halachas come first in the Rambam? And the answer, I believe, is that Mesoras HaTorah begins with the father and the son. Then it goes to the father and the grandson. Then it goes to the Chacham and his students. There's only one problem. And the Rambam mentions it in Halacha Gimel. How can you teach Torah and pass on the tradition unless what? Unless you know the Torah yourself.
You have the Torah for your father and for your grandfather.
Correct, but what happens if you don't have the Torah from your father, your grandfather? He didn't teach you Torah. So the Rambam has a problem now, because if fundamentally the underlying essence of Torah and the definition of this mitzvah is to pass on Torah, how can you pass on Torah if you didn't receive the Torah? And the answer says, Rambam, is now you have to teach yourself. Why do I mention this to you? First of all, I think it's a phenomenal breakthrough in how to understand the Rambam. Hilchas Talmud Torah, not Limud Torah. And that's why the Rambam begins in this order with Chiyuv Ha'av. But secondly, I want to suggest that maybe that's why the Eved is part of the Mitzvah Talmud Torah. Because what does the Eved not have?
Father.
He doesn't have a son. What do you mean an Eved doesn't have a son? You never met an Eved with a son? But the answer is he has no yichus. An Eved has no chiyus. Chayus means if he marries a Jewish girl, which he's not allowed to do, the child is not his. As far as yuchsin is concerned, an Eved Knani, before he becomes a full-fledged ger, is considered like a guy. Just like we said before, if you remember that in the scale of going from zero Kedushas Yisrael all the way to 100 Kedushas Yisrael, there are different gradations that we put the Eved Kanani on some level here. He's got the Kedushas Yisrael as far as certain mitzvahs. He doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael as far as other mitzvahs. We were wondering, does he have Kedushas Yisrael as far as Talmud Torah? And the answer is yes. He does have Kedushas Yisrael as far as Talmud Torah, but he's potter from Talmud Torah. You know why he's potter from Talmud Torah? Because what's the underlying premise upon which the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah is predicated? What's the original fundamental mitzvah?
Teaching
his son. That he doesn't have. So that dimension of Talmud Torah, he's parted from. Because we can't be mechayev of him to pass on the Torah if he doesn't have a son. Now I'm ready for a question. Who's going to slug me up?
According to Halacha Gimel, wouldn't the Eved Kanani have an obligation to teach himself?
Good. That's possible that he has a ptur in the mitzvah because he doesn't have a son, but he has, I wouldn't call it an obligation to teach him son, but a kiyum. Excellent. I like that word kiyum. And therefore there's no tiflus, there's no prohibition, he comes knocking on your door, he says, David, teach me Torah while I stand on one foot. You're allowed to teach him. Why? Because he's only potter for the mitzvah. It's a ptur gavra. Noshim Vavodim opens the Rambam, Pturim Talmud Torah, for two reasons. Two separate reasons. In the case of Isha, she's Pturim because the Torah says, Limanitam Osam is Pereichem, Pereichem Velo Beno Sechem. In the case of Eved, he's not included in the original mitzvah, which the Rambam codifies in Halacha Aleph, of passing on the Torah to his son. He doesn't have a son. But now I'm waiting for a question. Does every Jew have a son? What about a Jew who doesn't have a son? Right? Doesn't have a son? My daughter, after four girls, had a son, so they lucked out. But as of 2 years ago, she has four girls. You know, so my son-in-law is not chayav in the mitzvah Talmud Torah because he doesn't have a son. Ken Design, could that be it? How far are you going to go with this ridiculous idea, Rabbi Berzon?
There's grandchild
title,
a daughter's son.
What do you say?
There's grandchild title, the daughter's son.
Oh, excellent. And what basically you're saying, that his daughter could have a son, what are you saying? That although he might not have a son, but he always has the potential to have a son. He's included in the mitzvah to have a son. Meaning, everyone who's included, any Jew is included in the mitzvah period of Arivia to have a son, he has a mitzvah Talmud Torah. I don't care before whether he fulfilled that mitzvah or not, if he was presented, he was prevented from doing so. It's all Bidei Shamayim. But at least he's a Bar Hochi in the mitzvah of having a son. Anyone who's a Bar Hochi is included in the chiyuv of having a son. Even if he doesn't have a son before, he's included in Talmud Torah. But an Eved could never have a son.
He has the potential to come again.
He has the potential to come again, but then he's a different gavra. Then he has a new status in halacha. And then he becomes chayiv in the mitzvah period of Arivia and in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. David, are you following me?
I would think that a Jew without a son, halacha's aleph based gimel are not mutually exclusive. So wouldn't gimel fall through? He has no son. Wouldn't gimel become his aleph in a sense? Like he's now obliged.
Well, no, what I'm suggesting is that Gimel, which means Yochiv to study yourself, is predicated on Aleph and Beis, meaning because you're in the Masoras HaTorah, you're capable of having a son, you're indeed obligated to have a son, whether you have one or not befall is irrelevant. Therefore, you have to study Torah yourself. Anyone who has to pass on the Torah has to study Torah himself. Torah doesn't come into your brain just magically abracadabra. You have to study in order to know the Torah. And then you can go back to the fundamental chiv of passing on the Torah. The Eved is excluded from the fundamental chiv to pass on the Torah, therefore he doesn't have to learn the Torah. If that be the case, Rabosai, it comes out like this, that the Rambam indeed has two different dinim. He has one din, which he codifies at the beginning of Hilchas Talmud Torah, and that's a p'tur. In that sense, an Eved has the same status as an Isha, barring one distinction. The Isha has another problem, and that's called Tiflis, which the Eved doesn't have. So if you ask me, okay, the Eved is Potter Begavra because he doesn't have the Mesiras HaTorah, nevertheless, is he allowed on his own initiative to either study Torah or ask to be taught Torah? The answer is yes, he doesn't have Tiflis. Why? Because the P'tur Gav. He has the Kedushas Yisrael of Talmud Torah. Don't get me wrong. If you ask me, can he make a bracha on Lulav? The answer is absolutely not. Because he's Mufka from the Kedushas Yisrael for Lulav. If you ask me, can he make a bracha on Talmud Torah? The answer is yes. A robust yes. Why? Because he has a Kiyum HaMitzvah of Talmud Torah. He has the Kedushas HaMitzvah of Talmud Torah. But we can't impose an obligation. Because fundamentally, essentially, the obligation to Torah is to teach Torah to your son, to pass on the Torah. That he doesn't have. Then we fast forward to Hilchas Avodim. That's already the Prima Godim. That's already a special Iser on the Adon to teach the Eved Torah. No one else is forbidden is enjoined from teaching the Eved Torah. Everyone is invited to teach the Eved Torah. We'll create a new school, a new yeshiva called the Avodim Yeshiva. I don't know who's going to support us for that. I don't know, but maybe. Because they're women's seminaries, so why should there be seminaries for the Avodim? You know what I'm saying? But there's one person who's not allowed to teach the Eved Torah. Who's that? The Adon. That comes under the halacha of Hilchas Avodim. That's through the relationship with an Eved of Lola Behem Tavod. David, do you want to say something?
Yeah, just like, to be personally, I'm in a situation where I don't have a son, nor will I ever have one. So am I...
But you're included in the mitzvah to have a son.
But I am, but it's not going to happen.
It doesn't matter where this can happen. That's what I'm telling you. Well, when we define what's called Ptur Gavra, we look at the Gavra. The Gavra means an abstract halachic definition. Who's the Gavra who's chayv in Talmud Torah? That's the Gavra who's chayv to have a son. He has a son, he doesn't have a son. That's irrelevant. Take a single guy who was never married in his life. He's still obligated to teach Torah. If he can't be Makayim the first Chiyuv because he doesn't have a son, he'll be Makayim the second Chiyuv.
Or the third, to teach himself.
Well, and for sure the third. He can't be Makayim the second to teach Torah to someone else's son unless he himself studies Torah. So I'm saying there's a domino theory here, and we're going to go Chad Gadya from the Chiyuv to have a son, to the Chiyuv to teach one's son, to the Chiyuv to teach one's grandson, to the Chiyuv to teach someone else's son, to the Chiyuv to study Torah oneself. But it all starts with the Chiyuv to have a son. If you're included in that chiyuv, then we're going to hit you, we're going to zap you with the whole... An Eved is not included in that chiyuv. If he doesn't have the fundamental chiyuv that the Rambam formulates in Halacha Aleph, he has no mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He's a Ptur Gavra. Can he study Torah? Should we encourage him to study Torah? Why not? He's not in a Tiflis problem. So let him study Torah. Be Mekayim the mitzvah. Can anyone teach him Torah? Yes, but can his Adon teach him Torah? For that, you have to look in Hilchas Avodim. The Rambam is not even going to mention that in Hilchas Talmud.
When you talk about Tiflis for Isha, that's not a mitzvah. There's no one that says that the Avera is couched in terms of Tiflis. It says Isha. I mean, the Gemara says, "Called Malam Yitzchok Gilim Dabrut Tiflis." But does that makes it that Eastern Gemara?
Correct. That's called Chilul Kedushas HaTorah. Again, when we get to that halacha, we'll have to analyze it very carefully. But let's just say it's a kind of a perversion of the Torah itself. We can't allow that to go on. What shall I say again? Don't quote me on this. It's like teaching a Talmud She'eino Hogun. Right? A Talmud She'eino Hogun, he's got bad midos, whatever that means. We don't teach him Torah. We don't teach Torah to a guy. We don't learn Torah in a bathroom. There are many different halachas that express the Kedushas HaTorah, and one of them is going to be teaching Torah to women. Again, this is not a lecture on teaching Torah to women. I have a heck of a lot to tell you about that. And I've lectured on this topic on many occasions, Torah for women. And, you know, in the school that I created against my wife's will, but anyway, afterwards she was Modal Evis, that I made the right decision. We taught Torah to women with almost zero inhibitions. And again, we got a lot of critique for it. I'm not telling you. One of my good friends, who's a Rebbe in YU, and whose son is in our kol. He had a lot of trouble with this. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Berzon, I don't understand why you're teaching Gemara to women. In Michala, they came up with the most, in my, all right, I don't want to say this, because, but they allowed teaching Torah to women, Torah Shebaal Peh, from a photocopy, but not from the original. The Heres Tamaisa, my nafkamina. I mean, the Torah is the Heftish of Torah, whether it's printed in a book, whether it's a photocopy. I mean, but that's what. And I taught for 5 years under that shadow.
So, yeah.
Anyway, but that's going. But what I'm just saying is there's a halacha of tiflus, and the Rambam codifies this in Hilchos Talmud Torah. We're going to have to deal with it and understand what the Rambam means by tiflus. The Rambam adds a whole explanation to why it's tiflus, because rov nashim, and we're going to spend a lot of time on trying to understand what the rov nashim means, and if it's rov nashim in Gavro, if it's rov nashim at that particular moment in time. But in the case of Avodim, the Rambam doesn't whisper a word about tiflus. In fact, we saw in the Mefarshim, the Mefarshim say that the difference between Tiflis and non-Tiflis is the difference between a Kaven and a Zohar. It has no implication as far as Evan is concerned. So therefore, if you ask me, can we create this yeshiva for Avodim, I would say yes.
What about Shifcha Knaimis?
A Shifcha Knaimis? You mean, does she have a Kiyum of Talmud?
Is she like a woman?
She has the same status, I would say, as an Isha. She's Petur from a Mitzvah. Oh, but here I want to ask you something else, Rabbi. If the Ptur Gavra of an Eved is because he doesn't have a son, which means he cannot have a son halachically because he doesn't have Yichus, I want to ask you the following question. You'll laugh at me. What happens if I find an Eved Knan who could have a son al Pidin and the son is related to him? What would be his status in Hilchos Talmud Torah? According to everything we've been saying until now. Don't all answer at once. I can't assume too many points.
He's
chayav. For sure he's chayav, because he has a son. So you'll laugh at me. How can an Eved possibly have a son? See, here I want to quote a chiddush of Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim used to say that there's something called a chovas gavra with a petur chefta. Again, it's a very unusual terminology. But what did Reb Chaim have in mind? Listen carefully. There's something called a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. So it means two Jews are shutvim, their partners in an eved, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven was meshachrer, his half of the eved, and Shimon was not. The eved is very confused. He's half of a ben chorin and half. So Reb Chaim wants to say that in this case, the eved, who's a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, is chayv in the midst of period of a riv. And he says the following. Basically, an Eved is chayav in period of Arifia. I'm talking about an Eved Kanani. There's only one problem. Despite his chiyuv, he doesn't have the potential of fulfilling the mitzvah. Why? Because in the chefza, he's a chefza of an Eved. And as a chefza of an Eved, he doesn't have yichus. So try and try as much as he will, he'll never have a son. But let's say I would obviate the problem of the chefza, then the Gavra himself would be chayav in period of Rivi. Again, it's not like the mitzvah seish hazman grom that it derived from la. Again, if you remember the Mishnah Levela says that period of Rivi doesn't come under la. It's a separate din. So Reb Chaim says, what's a separate din? Why is an Eved part of a period of Rivi? The answer is, b'chefti is an Eved. So really, he's chayav. If we only had his status as a person, which is called Gavra, he would be obligated in the period of Rivi. But the Torah says, I can't obligate you in a mitzvah that you have no possibility of fulfilling. But Lu Yitzur, if you had the possibility of fulfilling it, then you would be chayav in period of Rivi, because then we go back to the Chovas Gavra. So Reb Chaim wants to say the following. That vis-a-vis the half of him that's a ben chorin, he could be mekayim in the mitzvah of period of Rivi, because that half of his chefta is yesh lo yichus, he has yichsin. Norvas, he has a half that is has an Eved. So that half of an Eved is not allowed to marry Bas Yisrael, right? Because that's a violation of a Lav Doraisa called Losia Kadesh. But the answer is, as far as the Gavra is concerned, the Gavra is Chayim in period of view. Now we can apply the principle of Esei Dochalosa. But you can tell, what do you mean Esei Dochalosa? Esei Dochalosa would only be meaningful if he has the Esei of period of review. Says Reb Chaim, he does have the Esei of period of review. Norvas, In Chefza, he can't be Mekayim, period, for Rivka. But be that as it may, it comes out that according to Reb Chaim, there is one case of an Eved called a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, who's Chaim, period, for Rivka. Now, according to our Torah, what would Reb Chaim say about the Mitzvah Talmud Torah in such a case? He's Chaim in the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, because he could have a son. And the son is Miyuchas Achros. Through what? Through the Chatzi Ben Chorin Shabo. What about the Chatzi Eved Shabo? That's only in Chefta without Esei Docholosa. But once I go to the Gavra and I say the Gavra is Chayim in Piri Verivya, therefore Esei Docholosa said, so the Chatzi Eved Shabo is not going to undermine the status of Yuchsin, and now he has a son who's Miyuchas Achrov. I claim that if so, he's Chayim in the Mitzvah Piri Verivya. Rabbo, so we're up to page 10 for those who have. I think I have copies here on the table. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry, you fucked me up with this Shifra Kananis. I don't think she's not in the cave because of the Mishnah Melech. She's more of a chiyah, and she should not, she shouldn't be tefless like a woman. She'd be more like a Kananis than his potter.
So let's see. We're talking about the Mitzvah Talmud Torah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Mitzvah Talmud Torah does not come under Zman Grom, and therefore the Mishnah Melech says it doesn't come under Lola. So we're going to have to go back to our explanation of Eved Kanani. Good. So now, what are we discussing now? Tiflus?
Stop. She Kananis. You put the comparison. We are coming to the same rule as Eved.
I would say so far the same rules as Eved.
That's what I thought.
Oh, but I thought you were gonna. Hit me with something. Here's where I disagree with you. Now let's ask the question. Shivcha Kananis, if she, let's say, voluntarily decides that she wants to study Torah, what's the deal in that case? Should it be like the Eved, the way we decided it? But here I think we still have a Tiflus problem. Do you follow my point? You know, there's a Tiflus, the Tiflus issue is not a result of, is it a Petur of Isha, is it a Petur of Eved? The Tiflus is an issue because she's in a game. You know, the fact that she may be part of Talmud Torah, Vitoris Hilchas Havonim, that doesn't.
I thought it comes from Shnat and Lechem and Neisecha.
Well, again, that's the source, perhaps, but the Rambam says it's also because of Tiflus. Again, a lot of, you know, discussions that we have to have why the Rambam needs the Pasuk of Lechem and Neisecha if he has Tiflus. Okay. Now on page 10, again, you don't have to look inside, it's not. It's, I have a problem. What's my problem? But again, I don't want anyone to misunderstand me, because what we're saying now is halach but not lemaisa, so don't misunderstand me. Does a woman get an aliyah? Again, not halach lemaisa, because there are other issues, but I'm saying, so if you take a look at the Gemara in Masechta Megillah Daf Chav Gimel, Tana Rabbanan, Hakol Olim Leminyan Shiva Afilu Isha. So a woman can be one of the Shiva Kruin. Now, let me explain something. That's obvious. You don't need to hear it from me. But in order to be one of the Shiva Kruin, you have to be obligated in what mitzvah? Talmud Torah. If you're not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there's no way, no how you could be one of the Shiva Kruin.
Right.
So my question to you is, how can we include a woman in the Shiva Kruim, since the Rambam says Noshim Peturim Talmud Torah?
They're Peturim in the Surim.
And to add insult to injury, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says not only is she Ola Lamin in Shiva, but she makes a brach when she takes the Aliyah.
How does Satan deal with this?
What do you say?
How does Satan deal with this?
Well, in general, what I'm about to present to you is the question on Sfaradin Bechlal, how women can make Shulchan Aruch, who paskins like the Rambam that a woman does not make a bracha on an optional mitzvah, yet the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Mem Zayin, I believe it is. Yes, Siman Mem Zayin, that women make a bracha on Talmud Torah. And that's true for all Sfaradic women today. So here, I want to quote my Rebbe, in the name of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says, according to this tradition, and we won't find it anywhere in the writings of Reb Chaim, that Birchas HaTorah is radically different than every other Birchas HaMitzvah. Oh, excellent, you know this, very good. Did you hear from me, or you knew it on your own? Okay. That the bracha of Talmud Torah was established on the Chefza Shel Torah. The Gemara derives it from the Pasuk Yishem Hashem Ekra. Ekra means when I create this entity called Torah, Havu Godel Elokeinu. Then we have to recite the bracha. So my Rebbe, after he shared this with us in the name of Reb Chaim, he wanted to add another dimension, another element to the equation. He said the following, that the takana of Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur is not a matter of Chovas Gavra. Okay, let me try to explain. Let's go slowly. The Rav told us the following story. Somebody came over to his father in Chaslavich, and he said the following. He said that the Baal Kori told me that he has everyone in mind except for me. There was some sort of friction between the Baal Kori and this particular individual. And he asked Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, do I have to find a different minion to daven? Because I'm not going to be Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah. Because this, again, he probably called it by all sorts of names, but that's not important for us. He says, this Baal Kori told me explicitly, I have everyone in mind except for you. So Rav Moshe said, you have nothing to worry about. The mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur is to create an entity, a cheftza of Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. The normal principle of a bar chiyuva is motzi someone else, which is called Shomea Ka'ona, has nothing to do, Rav Moshe said, with Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. If it was the normal mechanism of I'm a chuyuv and if I'm being motzi you, so I'm reading the Torah because I'm chayev, and you're yotzei through my kriya because of Shomea Ka'ona, then the questioner was very justified in his question. He wouldn't be yotzei through Shomea Ka'ona if the person who's being Shomea is the Mashmia has in mind to exclude him. But Rav Moshe said that's not the nature of Kriyas HaTorah and that's not the bracha on Torah. The nature of Kriyas HaTorah is on the entity of Torah B'tzibur. When the Tzibur studies Torah together, creates a new entity, and that's the mitzvah that Chazal established, Moshe Rabbeinu and Ezra and so forth and so on, of Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. The bracha itself is on Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, meaning on that entity, on that Cheftza. And therefore, if this Baal Kore, insofar as he's capable of creating a Cheftza Shel Torah, he reads the Torah and he doesn't have you in mind, and he says, oh no, there's no Shomei HaKona, that's irrelevant. Because Shomei HaKona only applies when the Chiyuv is what generates the mitzvah. Here, it's not the Chiyuv that generates the mitzvah. It's the result of the Chiyuv. It's the entity of Torah. If there's an entity of Torah, then the Tzibur, again, it has to be a Tzibur to Ketorah, then the entire Tzibur is Yotzei by, so to speak, dipping into this entity. I connect, I touch base with this entity called Torah B'Tzibur, and the bracha. It's very interesting, because in Chovas Yochid, in a regular Chiyuv of Talmud Torah, there's only a bracha before Talmud Torah, as far, am I right about that? There is no bracha after Talmud Torah. I don't know if anyone would tell me I'm wrong about that. I never came across such a thing. But in Torah B'Tzibur, there's a bracha afterwards. We find it also in Megillas Esther. That Megillas Esther has a bracha before and a bracha after. Hallel has a bracha before and a bracha after. What's common to all these cases?
Tzibur.
That you're creating an entity, but Tzibur. Now it could be that there's a din of a yachid, and then we have to decide whether the bracha l'achreho would be recited in the yachid. If I remember correctly, the Torah has two opinions on this question. If, let's say, I read the Megillah for myself, whether I cite Haravis Rivenu, I think the Torah finally concludes, but don't quote me on this, that Haravis Rivenu can only be recited B'tzibur. Because there's a new entity, a new Cheftza of Torah B'tzibur. And Megillah Esther is nothing short of any Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. Oh, so the Rav used to say in the name of Chaim that why do women have the ability to recite a bracha on Torah study, even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins that women did not make a bracha on an optional voluntary mitzvah? The answer is because here the bracha is not on the Chovas Gavra. It's on the entity of Torah. If she, the woman, could create an entity of Torah, then she'll make a bracha. So let's go back to our original question. We asked, how could the Gemara Megillah establish that Noshim Olos Laminyan Shiva? She's not obligated to the mitzvah Talmud Torah. Moreover, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah establishes that when a woman gets an aliyah to the Torah, she makes a bracha on it. How could that be? She's not a bar chiyuva. But the answer is that when we're talking about Torah and we're talking about the bracha on Torah, then we're talking about the cheftz of Torah. So lo mi bai, This goes without saying that if a woman is Ol Aminyan Shiva, that's already an entity called Talmud Torah B'tzibur, and therefore she, insofar as she has a Cheftah Shel Torah, she can dip in and participate in creating a Cheftah Shel Torah of Tzibur. But moreover, even in her own personal study of Talmud Torah, she also creates a Cheftah Shel Torah. A few examples. For example, would a woman be allowed to study Torah in a bathhouse? For sure not. She has a Cheftah Shel Torah. Would I be allowed to interfere with her? Again, unless there was pressing reason. You know, like the Gemara says, if somebody's standing Shmor Esrei, you're not allowed to walk in front of them. What would be if a woman was standing Musaf? You know, according to those Rishonim that say the woman is not obligated in Musaf because it's a mitzvah seishes man grom and noshim enum somchos, you know, in Karbonos. So again, we don't have to go through all the tralalas here, but the bottom line is that according to one school of thought, a woman is not obligated in tefillas musaf on Shabbos, on Yontif. So let me ask you a question. She got ahead, she went ahead and she said, I'm going to daven musaf. Am I allowed to walk in front of her? She has a cheftah shel tefillah. And that's what the Gemara means, by the way. I'm going off a little on a tangent. The Gemara Brachos Daf Chaf says that Noshim, women, have an obligation to daven. Why? Because tefillah rachmei ninu. Rachmei ninu means it's a cheftah shel tefillah. And a woman has a cheftah shel tefillah. Not only does she have a cheftah shel tefillah, she has a cheftah shel Torah. And when a woman studies, she engenders a cheftah shel Torah with all the repercussions. It's memela she makes a bracha. So the bracha is not on the chovas gavra, but on the entity of Torah itself. If she can create an entity, then she makes the bracha. So I was wondering, I saw in a Lubavitcher Sefer, I'm not sure if I quoted or not, let me just see if it's by chance here. No, I don't have it here. I think it's called something Doraisa. Anyway, so in this Lubavitcher Sefer, he vacillates back and forth about whether you could hear a bracha from a katan, a bracha on the Torah study. And at the end he concludes that there's no Shomei Ka'on, and therefore Gadol cannot be Yotzei Eschiv of Birchas HaTorah by hearing it from a katan. This could become very relevant. Let's say, for example, on Shavuos night, you know, you stayed up the whole night, you don't know, so you want somebody else to be Motzi because he slept. And what happens if no one is around except for a katan? And there are many other scenarios where this could be very relevant. So he comes to the conclusion, I forgot the name of the sefer right now, I'll get back to you on that. Especially if you're a Lubavitcher, you want to know the name of the sefer. And he says, no, you can't be Yotzei with the bracha of a katan. But I don't know. Again, who am I? But I would say, according to our alumnus, that the bracha of Torah is on the Cheftah Shel Torah. A katan could have a Cheftah Shel Torah. The Ram opens up Hilchas Talmud Torah by saying, Noshim Avonim Uketanim Pturim Talmud Torah. It's a Ptur Gavra. You remember that we had a discussion about the nature of the Ptur Katan. Is it a universal Ptur that he's Ptur in all mitzvahs, or is it a specific Ptur here in Hilchas Talmud Torah? Because the father has to teach him Torah. So he has an entity of Torah. Maybe he's obligated in the mitzvah Talmud Torah. So we have to find a miut. You know, we remember the Mishnah Kesef that we had a miut that it says, that you have to teach him Torah, but he doesn't have to teach himself Torah. But if he decides that he wants to take advantage of the opportunity to study Torah, then he has a Cheftah Shel Torah, and I think he can make a bracha on it. Now on page 11 on top, I quote Rav Yaakov Emden, which is published in the back of Masechta Ksubis. And Rav Yaakov Emden writes the following, Misvara, he says logically, Eved Odif Mi Isha. In other words, if an Isha could be Ola L'Shiva, she could be part of the Kruim in the public reading of the Torah, he says an Eved should be included as well. Why? He says, Dafka be Isha, he says, an Isha you have a Hava meaning to say that she shouldn't be called up to the reading of the Torah, Mishum Kavarat Tzibur. He says, Masha Enkein Evet. Now again, I'm not going to argue with him. His premise, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, is that there's no Pegiya, there's no undermining Kavarat Tzibur if you call up an Evet. Fine. Tevi Avdo. Remember, Rebbe had an Evet named Tevi. So therefore, it seems from Rav Yaakov Emden that even though the Gemara says Isha's Ola L'Shiva, it's not necessarily a good idea. L'chadchila, avoid it because of kavanat tzibur. B'di'eved, okay, we'll look the other way. But he wants to suggest Rabbi Yaakov Eved that in the case of an Eved, l'chadchila you can call him up for an aliyah in the Shiva Kruv, because here there's no issue of kavanat tzibur. Again, I don't know. But let's assume his premise is correct. There's no violation of kavanat tzibur if you call up an Eved. But wait a second. How can you call up an Eved? An Eved is Mufka from Talmud Torah. And he's Mufka from Talmud Torah, he cannot generate a Chefter Shel Torah. But what do you see from Rav Yaakov Emden? That the Eved is a Ptur Gavra, but he has a Chefter Shel Talmud Torah. And he's even superior to an Isha, because in the case of an Isha, we have issues of Kavanat Tzibur, which we don't have in the case of an Eved. So I would like to place this Rav Yaakov Emden on our team. You know, he's on our side. That Kriyas HaTorah and the Brachas on Kriyas HaTorah depend upon creating an Etzem Cheftes Shel Torah, and the Eved could create an a Cheftes Shel Torah. He just has a Ptur Gavra. And not only does he have a Ptur Gavra, but there may even be cases in which the Eved is Chayv in Talmud Torah, like a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chor. So now we're up to page 11. Yeah, David, please.
I don't understand. What does the word Cheftes really mean? I know Gavra is a
Cheftes means an entity. The trouble is that in modern Hebrew, the word chefta means, or chefetz in Hebrew, means a physical, tangible object. And that's what confuses us, because we're not used to thinking in abstract terms. The word chefta in halacha doesn't necessarily mean a physical object. You can have a chefta that's a halachic entity, it's a legal entity, and exists in cyberspace, so to speak. The cyberspace of halacha.
And Rav Chaim is a person. The Gavra, that means a person.
Oh, and usually, not always, but 99 out of 100 cases, when we talk about a Chefta and it's not a physical, tangible object, it's in catches to the Gavra. So, for example, if I want to tell you that the Gavra is Patur, then I might say that although he's Patur, he has the Chefta of that mitzvah. That mitzvah is meaningful. And it's very close, David, to the concept called kiyum. And the truth is that if we really want to do a thorough job at Derech HaLimud, we'd have to face the music on the following question. When does Reb Chaim speak about a Cheftes Shel Mitzvah, and when does he speak about a kiyum HaMitzvah? They're almost interchangeable. So you can have someone who's parted from the mitzvah, but he has a kiyum. Then you can have someone who doesn't even have a Cheftes Shel Mitzvah. There's a famous chiddush, I mentioned it many times in the Ritva in Masechta Sukkah. Ha'osek b'mitzvah, again the Ritva doesn't say these words, but mufka min ha'mitzvah. What does that mean? The Ritva says that if he's osek b'mitzvah A, and he decides, thus he's an Imre Chacham, for whatever reason, that he's going to drop mitzvah A and pick up mitzvah B, according to the Ritva, he not only has forfeited mitzvah B, because mitzvah B is meaningless, he even violates an Iser because he dropped mitzvah A. That's what I call a hafkah. Without the Ritva, I would say, I'll take a mitzvah, part of it, a mitzvah, he's not chayav to pick up the second mitzvah. He can maybe jump, you know, he can do somersaults in his air if he's ambidextrous and do two mitzvahs simultaneously. The Torah says he's part of it. That's only a Ptur Gavra. If he went ahead and he, you know, he used both hands, you know, with the right hand, he fulfilled one mitzvah, with the left hand another mitzvah, then he has a Cheftes Shel Mitzvah. Every hand, you know, even the first mitzvah, the second mitzvah, is considered a Cheftes Shel Mitzvah. And that's very similar to Kiyum HaMitzvah. But you see, I don't have any proofs for this, but just intuitively, my thesis would be that you might even have a Cheftes Shel Torah without a Kiyum HaMitzvah. That's how far I would go. There may be such an entity called a Cheftes Shel Torah even without a Kiyum HaMitzvah. What are we up to now? We're up to the kasha of the Sagas Aryeh. The Sagas Aryeh says the following. The Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, I'm sorry, start again. The Rambam in Hilchas Sefer Torah says that a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. Now, does the Rambam say that explicitly? The truth is he does not say it explicitly, but the Mefarshim HaMedayik in the language of the Rambam. Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseh Al Kol Ish V'Ish Mi Yisrael Lichtov Sefer Torah Li Atzma. And Ish in the Rambam usually means Lafuki Isha. For example, we're going to have a Rambam soon in Hilchas Talmud Torah. I think it's Halacha Hey, if I remember correctly, where he says, "Call Ish mi Yisrael chayav the Talmud Torah." And what does that word Ish mean? Only males, not females. Here also, the Rambam in the Mitzvah say, writing a Sefer Torah, he says, "Call Ish mi Yisrael." Comes along the Beis HaLevi, and he asks the following question: why is a woman exempt from writing a Sefer Torah? Now, whenever you hear exemption of a woman, your automatic first answer, the first button you press is what? Zman Grom, right? Well, the last I looked, and that's the Beis HaLevi's on my side, writing a Sefer Torah is not a mitzvah seish Zman Grom. There is no moment in time which is excluded from writing a Sefer Torah. Again, you may have problems of Shabbos and Yontif, but that's because of the Isur Malach of Shabbos and Yontif. But as far as the obligation of Sefer Torah, if you could write a Sefer Torah without violating Shabbos, then Enochinami, you would be chayav even on Shabbos to write a Sefer Torah. So there's no moment in time which is part of the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. So the Beis HaLevi wants to know, why would the Rambam exempt a woman from writing a Sefer Torah? And his answer is because there's a hekesh, an analogy between the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. Because the Torah, the parasha of writing a Sefer Torah, which, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that Vayelech, in Parshas Vayelech, I think?
Yeah.
And it says there, Laman, what does it say there? I'm sorry, I don't remember the pasuk by heart. Anyway, it says, Laman, you'll be doing the Torah Sechem, and you'll be able to pass on the Torah to the generations. So the Beis HaLevi starts with the following premise, that if you are obligated to study Torah and pass it on to other generations, then you'll be obligated in Sefer Torah, in writing a Sefer Torah. A woman who's not obligated to study Torah and pass it on to the next generation, she therefore is exempt from the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. And now we get to the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh says the following: are you telling me a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah? I'm sorry, starting in. Are you telling me that a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of studying Torah? If that's the case, no one's obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What do I mean? The mitzvah of Talmud Torah applies to a woman as well as a man, insofar as she's obligated in 95% of the mitzvahs. I don't know the exact number. She certainly has to study the Torah. What are you going to tell me, that she's going to fulfill mitzvahs without studying Torah? How is she going to know what mitzvahs and how to do the mitzvahs? And if you can apply this principle, I'm going to ask you about a kohen, right? A kohen is obligated to study the laws of kahuna, but if I'm not a kohen, so what, I'm not obligated? So the Shagas Aryeh thinks that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is all-inclusive, it's universal, because everyone has a number of mitzvahs. Again, you might have mitzvahs that I don't have, if you're a kohen and I'm not. You might have mitzvahs that I don't have because you're a nazir, I'm not a nazir, etc., etc., etc. But nevertheless, there are many mitzvahs that I'm obligated in. So why is a woman any different than a man? So, maishna anoshim, the chayovim mitzvah. Now, if I'm not a kohen, do I have to write a Sefer Torah? I have to write a Sefer Torah. There are plenty of parts of the Torah that I don't have to study, according to the Shagas Aryeh, because I'm not obligated as a kohen to do the avodah, so I don't have to learn kachur. But nevertheless, I'm chayav in Sefer Torah. So the same thing he says should apply to a woman. There are many mitzvahs that she's not obligated in, but therefore she doesn't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah vis-a-vis her mitzvahs and her obligations. And if she does, then she should be like a Yisrael who's obligated in writing a Sefer Torah. If you're going to tell me, he says the Shagas Aryeh, that a woman is exempt from the writing of a Sefer Torah, then I might as well exempt everybody from a mitzvah, because there's no mitzvah that's non-obligatory, if I can use that word, for any Jew on the face of the earth. There's always going to be a mitzvah that's non-obligatory. You might be chayv in these mitzvahs, he's chayv in those mitzvahs, but there's no one who's chayv in all the mitzvahs. And therefore, there's no one who's obligated in Talmud Torah vis-a-vis all the mitzvahs. So you can tell me, but I have a chiyuv Talmud Torah to some extent for the mitzvahs that are relevant to me, and therefore I have a chiyuv to write the Sefer Torah. But a woman also has an obligation, no less than a man, to study the mitzvahs that she's obligated in. So why shouldn't she be chayav in the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah? Says the Beis HaLevi, again, I'm going to say very dramatically, this is not the language of the Beis HaLevi, the Shagas Aryeh made a big boo-boo. A major fundamental error. The Shagas Aryeh believed, mistakenly, that a woman is obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's a big mistake. A woman is not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. She may be obligated, as you mentioned, David, yesterday, to be Marfish Challah. In order to be Marfish Challah, she's going to have to study what? Torah, the Halacha. But that's not because of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's because of the mitzvah of what? Of our first Challah. Do you hear the oneness here? This is such a fundamental principle. I mean, if you're talking about Derech HaLeva, there's nothing more fundamental in Derech HaLeva than this Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi says, yes, a woman is obligated to study Torah, but not in the midst of Talmud Torah. The Torah says, Rishinatul Menechem Lo Levnosef. She's obligated to know the mitzvahs in order to fulfill the mitzvahs. But that's part of the mitzvah. That's not part of Talmud Torah. And therefore, he says, the difference between a man and a woman vis-a-vis Talmud Torah is that a man is obligated in all of Torah, including a non-Kohen studying Kachim. Why is he obligated to study Kachim? It's not relevant to him. The answer is, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah has nothing to do with relevancy. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is an all-encompassing, eternal or infinite mitzvah that encompasses everything. And if you ask me why every single man has a mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, it's because every single man has an all-inclusive mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Nothing is left out. Is it practical? He's not a Kohen, he's not a Nozer, he's not a Melech. Totally irrelevant. Torah study is a mitzvah per se. It's an end unto itself. Anytime you're studying Torah as a means to an end, that's not Talmud Torah, that comes over a different mitzvah. In other words, if you're studying Torah for the purpose of, you know, wearing tzitzis, so that's a mitzvah of tzitzis. Don't call it Talmud Torah. Again, I'm going a little bit far because the Beis HaLevi would say that even if I study the mitzvah of tzitzis, that's Talmud Torah.
It's a true kiyum.
Correct, it would be a double kiyum. In the case of a woman, she only has the kiyum not of tzitzis, but let's say of Hafrash Shchalad, Lukas Nefesh, whatever her mitzvahs are. This is a beautiful, beautiful chiddush of the Beis HaLevi. And perhaps we can take this one step further. The Beis Yosef, at the end of Siman Lamed Zion, in the name of the Smag, writes that women make a bracha on Talmud Torah because they have to study the dinim that are relevant to us. I mean, relevant to them, I should say, right? And he's quoting the Smag. So I told you that the reason why Reb Chaim understood that a woman makes a bracha on Talmud Torah is because the bracha is not on the Chovas Gavra, and the mitzvah and the obligation of Torah studies on the Chavetz Shel Torah, the woman has the Chavetz Shel Torah. No go. It's against the Smag. The Smag says the reason why a woman makes a bracha on Talmud Torah is because she's obligated in Torah study. And why is she obligated in Torah study? Because she was only excluded from those mitzvahs that don't apply to her. But she was never excluded from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah per se, vis-a-vis those mitzvahs that she's obligated in. And this is against the Beis HaLevi, because the Beis HaLevi says, yes, she has to learn those mitzvahs that she's obligated, but that's not Talmud Torah.
It goes against the Rambam.
What do you mean by the Rambam? I mean, I lost you. Oh, you mean because the Rambam says Noshim Peturis in Talmud Torah?
Tiflis.
Well, again, leave out Tiflis, because again, Tiflis will apply in certain cases, but we're talking about a woman learning. The Rambam doesn't mean, I don't think, I mean, heaven forbid that the Rambam would say that for a woman to learn the laws of Hafresh Eschala or whatever, you know. What else? Neither. What already mentioned? Neir Shabbos. That would be Tiflis. No. I mean, if you taught her too many abstract hakiris in Neir Chanukah or Neir Shabbos, maybe that would be Tiflis. I don't know. But you're asking. Wait, I want to get back on track to your question. How could the Rambam say that Noshim Peturis mi Talmud Torah when the Smag says that women make a bracha on Talmud Torah because they're obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, at least vis-a-vis the mitzvahs that they're obligated in? That's a gvaldige kash. So then,
Smag was away.
Smag was after the Rambam, but he's still considered one of the Rishonim. Yeah. I mean, the Rambam's not committed to far end for the Smag. You know, he doesn't have to play. You know, buddy buddy with the Smag. But Daniel's pointing out something that I should add here that this Smag is against the Rambam himself. So in any event, let's hold like the Smad for 1 minute against the Rambam, that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah vis-a-vis those mitzvahs that they're obligated. So now we come back to Shagasari's kash. So why is a woman exempt from the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? She has the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So I have a paragraph here called Venira Lomar, and that's on the bottom of page 11. Let's see if we can fit this in before we have to end. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we're going to suggest, based on this smag, and then maybe we could reconcile it with the Rambam, consists of two different dimensions. And we'll see the different psukim that the Rambam quotes. One dimension is Ushmartem la'sosam, which means that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah HaTorah without studying them. In that sense, from that perspective, mitzvah Talmud Torah is a means to an end, but it's still a mitzvah Talmud Torah according to the Smag. I don't know about the Rambam, but at least according to the Smag. So the goal of that mitzvah and the precondition to establish the chiyuv of Talmud Torah in those cases is that those mitzvahs are relevant to you. And therefore, Talmud Torah is a necessary means to an end in order to implement those mitzvahs. Then there's another dimension of the mitzvah Talmud Torah. And that's Torah study as an end to itself. The difference is going to be between a man and a woman. A man has both obligations. A woman only has one. It's all within the framework of Talmud Torah. So what I'd like to suggest to answer the Shagasari's kasha, if we hold like the Smad, is that the interdependence or interconnection between the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah and the mitzvah of studying Torah is that dimension of Torah study which is an end unto itself. What do I gain by this? Nashim. Women, although they're obligated according to the Smag to study those halachas that are relevant to them, they would not have a chiyuv, and that comes under Talmud Torah, but they would not have the all-inclusive mitzvah of Talmud Torah where Torah is an end unto itself. That they don't have. The Mela, they don't have the chiyuv of writing a Sefer Torah. Because the chiyuv of Ksiva Sefer Torah requires not just A, but A plus B. Not just one chiyuv, one dimension of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but both dimensions of the Talmud Torah. And if you take a look, the Rambam is going to say the following. That why is the mitzvah of studying Torah so critical, so important? And the Rambam says, because v'shinant v'limadetem osam u'shmartem la'sosam. Because you're going to be required to study Torah so that u'shmartem la'sosam, so you can implement the Torah. And yet the Rambam, in Halacha Gimel, if somebody could open up to Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says that the Yisod of Chovas Limud is because of Gadol Talmud HaMevi Lidei Maisa. Do you have that, Rambam? John, can you read it out loud? Oh, so Talmud HaMevi Lidei Maisa. Correct? So let's put these two halachas together. On the one hand, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is derived from limanatem osam ushmartem lasosam, which means it's a precondition to ushmartem lasosam. And to support and bolster that, we take a look in Halacha Gimel, and the Rambam writes, Godol Talmud amevi lidei maisa. So maybe lidei maisa once again puts shifts all the significance onto Shmartem Lasosa. Now, which is the Iker Mitzvah of Talmud Torah and which is the Tofel Mitzvah? Let me see the language of the Rambam again. And with this, we'll conclude. The Rambam says, Nashim Uptani, Halacha Gimel. Mishalo Lindo of Chayv Lamed is Atzmo. Ah, V'chena Tamotze B'chol Mokom Shatalmud Mevi Lidei Maase. So it's interesting. Here the Rambam invokes the pasuk L'maratem Osam U'Shmartem La'Sosam. And then he goes on and he says, Talmud Gadol Shemevi Lidei Maase. All the emphasis here is on Maase. The question is that the fundamental dimension of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So I don't know how we're going to prove this at this point. Well, thank God the bell rang already, because I don't have an answer to the following question. Maybe by next week I'll have an answer. Somehow, which I don't know how, the Rambam assumes that the Iker mitzvah of Talmud Torah is Torah per se, meaning as an end unto itself, even if it's not almanas lasos, it's not a precondition to prepare you for study. The Rambam has a secondary chiyuv. Again, I have to prove this, but let's just, if you don't mind playing the game with me. The secondary chiyuv is ushmartem lasosam, or gadol ha-talmud ha-mevi lidei maase. And then afkamina is going to be in the case of Noshim, that Noshim are going to pick up, the way the Smag defines it, a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, but the secondary chiyuv of Talmud Torah, not the primary chiyuv of Talmud Torah. And then afkamina is going to be as far as the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah is concerned. Even though a woman has the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but she only has the secondary chiyuv of Talmud Torah. And the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah requires you to have the Iker mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Iker mitzvah of Talmud Torah a woman doesn't have. So Blinetta will try to flesh this out next time.
Is there any connection between these two different approaches of the Rambam and the other three halachas we have the Rambam, whether it's the father, the chum, or teaching yourself? Is there any link there, or are they completely different?
So let's think. What are we saying now? That the chiyuv is to know Torah so that you could observe its ordinances. Oh, so I would say the following. I'm not sure, Daniel, which way you want to take it, but let me just tell you the way I would like to take it, but I have no basis for this. That the original chiyuvim that the Rambam formulates in Halachas Aleph and Beis, for example, a father vis-a-vis his children, his grandchildren, a rebbe vis-a-vis, those are the Iker mitzvah Talmud Torah. That's where the woman is excluded, according to the Rambam. She doesn't have that. In Halacha Gimel, the Rambam has Ushmartem Osam Lasos. That's already the secondary view. And for some reason, which we have to work out, when we get to Hilchos Sefer Torah, the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah depends upon the first two chiyuvim.
But then you're suggesting that Halacha Maaseh is not necessary. Because the Torah really comes from the father from the rebbe. I mean, that's... This is already getting quite theoretical.
Let me think about it. Yeah. I hear you.
It's good.